Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous. My name is Sherry KB. Welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Sherry KB, and I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater from Northern California. Today is Friday, April 5th, 2019, and this is our 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we're reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we're at Chapter 2, on page 18, and there is a solution, starting with the third paragraph, beginning with highly competent psychiatrist, and we'll be reading through two paragraphs, ending with little or nothing can be accomplished. We'll be commenting on both paragraphs. Today's readers are Liat T.D. for the 12 steps, A.J. N. for the 12 traditions, and the readers of our text are Christine M., Don B., and Julie E.B. Our newcomer greeter today is Leslie M., and Leslie W. will give our announcements today. The share ID for yesterday, Thursday, April 4th, 2019, our 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 12,745. That's 12745. And the share ID for this morning's meeting, which is our meeting this morning as well, April 5th, 2019, Eastern Time meeting, is 12,747. That's 12747. The OA preemblem. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and to carry and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Liat T.D. to read our 12 steps of OA. Liat?
Yes, good morning, Terry. Thank you. Can you hear me?
Liat, we can't hear you. Star 1 to unmute, Liat.
Can you hear me, Sherry, now?
Yes, I can. Thanks,
sorry,
Liat.
I'm sorry, multiple times. Thank you. Liat TD, recovered compulsive overeater from Northern California. Here are the 12 steps of the OA of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to other compulsive readers and practice these principles in all of our affairs. Thank you, I'll pass.
And thank you, Liat T.D. And now we'll hear from A.J. N., our 12 traditions of OA. A.J.?
Good morning, A.J. in Ohio. the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities pass.
And thank you, AJN, for your service this morning. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions of recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press 1, to star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted, and that includes hitting your mute button on the phone. Today we resume our study of the Big Book on page 18 in the chapter There Is a Solution. We're going to be reading the third paragraph, starting with Highly Competent Psychiatrist, reading through two paragraphs, ending with Little or Nothing Can Be Accomplished. So let's have Christine M. begin our reading. Christine?
Yes, hello everyone. My name is Christine M., gratefully recovered compulsive overeater in Missouri. Welcome to anyone that's new on the line, and thank you everyone for your service this morning. Okay, so it says, highly competent psychiatrists who have dealt with us have found it sometimes impossible to persuade an alcoholic to discuss his situation without reserve. Strangely enough, wives, parents, and intimate friends usually found us even more unapproachable than do the psychiatrist and the doctor. But the ex-problem drinker, who has found the solution, who is properly armed with facts about himself, can generally win the entire confidence of another alcoholic in a few hours. Until such an understanding is reached, little or nothing can be accomplished. So, yeah, I know for me, you know, outside help is great. And I've utilized that, but, you know, before I got recovered, I was never honest with any doctor, psychiatrist about, you know, the fact that I was just eating and the things that I was doing to get food and get money to be able to feed my addiction 24/7. I just wasn't very honest. And when I did get honest, you know, I was told things like, well, just, you know, push yourself away from the table and things like that. And, you know, I needed some depth and weight. I needed an ex-problem drinker, you know, who has found the solution and the facts that they were armed with is the fact that, you know, the doctor's opinion that they had an allergy of the body, obsession of the mind, and I was able to relate to that, you know, and they won my entire confidence, and you know, I am able to, God works through me to give that to other people today, you know, and until such an understanding was reached, there really wasn't anything that could be accomplished, because until I heard not just the information in the doctor's opinion, but also coupled with that person's experience, strength, and hope, I like I said, there was no depth and weight to that, and I would always find an out, like, well, they don't know what they're talking about because they've just read it in the book and they haven't experienced it, which, you know, wasn't really my call because I really didn't know that, but I would assume that. But with, and I, you know, and I thought that about, you know, my family members too, whether they, you know, don't have this problem. But, you know, when I'm sitting on the other end of the line or across the table from someone who the problem had been solved through the work of God, through the work of 12 steps and finding a higher power, which for me is God, because I'm beyond human aid, that made perfect sense for me. And then I was able to, you know, just be quiet and let someone guide me and know and trust that that they were guiding me in the right direction, because anything had to be better than, you know, the way I was living. And that's exactly what happened, you know. And also the chapter more about alcoholism is crucial. You know, all these chapters are crucial, but I just wanted to point those two out. And so a lot was accomplished once I was able to know that that person had been exactly where I've been, walked exactly where I've walked, and they've been through the pain, and they walked through the steps, and they got recovered by the grace of God, and are also able to help give others the depth and weight that they need to, you know, just come on aboard and give it a shot. So, you know, there's something to be said for personal experience, you know, in any
time,
but especially this. So thank you so much. Thank God for Overeaters Anonymous. That's all I have.
And thank you, Christine M. And just reminding everybody where we're at this morning, because we'd love to hear from you. We're on page 18 in There is a Solution. We're on the third paragraph, and we're going to read through two paragraphs, beginning with highly competent psychiatrist, ending with little or nothing can be accomplished. So who would like to share on this topic? On this
Lisa B.
Okay, I heard Lisa B. and something L.
Kara L.
Kara L. Okay.
Sherry D.
Sherry D. as in David?
Yes.
Okay, got you, Sherry.
Pam T.
Something T.
Pam
T. Got you, Pam.
Leslie C.
Was that Leslie?
That's exactly right.
Rebecca T.
Wow. I'm bad. Leslie C. Okay. And
did
who
you
else?
Get Debbie F?
I'm sorry, Debbie. Did you say Debbie F?
Debbie F.
Okay. There's some background noise. Could everybody please, I hear some dishes being dropped. So please star one to mute yourself. Thank you. If you could, please. Thank you so much. Okay. So I have Lisa B., Tara L., Sherry D., Pam T., Leslie C., and Debbie F. Okay, Lisa, you're up, followed by Tara L.
Good morning. My name is Lisa B. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Greenville, South Carolina, and thank you so much for your service, and I'm very grateful for this meeting. There's so much here I want to share on. I minimized this thing for the longest time. Ooh, there's a lot of background noise there. Can you hear me okay?
I can, Lisa, and
okay.
Thank you so much. Sorry for the interruption,
sure.
But we're taking
okay.
care of that. Thank you.
Oh, sure. Okay, thank you. I'll just continue on. So I have tried to share, honestly, with the medical profession. Like, I went to a psychologist. I've gone to therapists. And when I did confide in them what I did with food, a few of them said to me,
you don't really have a problem with it. You're just being too rigid and too controlling and too obsessive with the food. And then I just stopped confiding in them. I did also confide in my mother what I was doing with food. And she was actually very helpful, believe it or not. she shared with me that what she observed in me was the same thing that she saw in my brother with cocaine. And that helped me. That really helped me. I began to see that this could be an illness just like drug addiction. But it wasn't until I came to a healthy OA meeting and I met someone in whom the problem had been solved. And what really helped me was learning about the hopelessness of this illness, that this is a chronic, progressive illness, that it never will go away. It will only get worse. And that I will die a slow spiritual death a long time before my body actually dies. And that I really won't ever be experiencing life. And the way I learned that was someone sharing with me that that's what she learned for herself. And that it wasn't until she began to get into the big book and take the book literally and do precisely the way the big book describes to get recovered, just like a drug addict, just like a heroin addict or an alcoholic, that this is no different. And that's what really helped me. I think understanding the allergy of the body, but the hopelessness was so important. But then at the same time, hearing the hope and the promise. I never thought that someone could have long-term abstinence. And for the longest time, I thought long-term abstinence meant I was recovered. Abstinence does not equate recovery. Recovery is a state of mind and a transformation in the spirit and the emotions, my attitude, my outlook, as described in the big book, a revolutionary change. But I need to have abstinence in order to get that, to have an effect take place about going through the steps in abstinence. So I would say hopelessness and hope together is what really came together for me and helping me and getting honest with someone in whom the problem had been solved. And now, interestingly enough, when I do go into therapy sessions, I find tremendous help because I am abstinent and I am recovered and I can really utilize what they're sharing with me. So I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Lisa B. And Tara L., you're up, followed by Sherry D.
Tara? Good morning. Good morning. My name is Tara L., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. Thank you for everyone who's done service today on this meeting and bringing this meeting to us. I'm taught in the big book that when I want to really emphasize something, they italicize it. And that's what we see today in the second paragraph, with that the ex-problem drinker has found the solution and goes on. You know, there's contingencies, right? You know, that we're properly armed with facts about ourselves and how we can generally win the confidence, entire confidence. You know, when it's the identity, you know, it's the when I'm working with somebody and I was just thinking, I'm working with new sponsees and I don't know their whole life history. I don't, you know, some of them, especially on vision, I've never even met in person. And yet, you know, there is a confidence there. There's an identity there. There is a trust there. And there's a love there. And it's because I've been where they are. When they say things, I can say, yes, me too. Yes, I understand. Yeah, you know, yes, and or laugh. I mean, just that identity, how important it is to be able to laugh at things and find things that other people would call crazy kind of adorable because it's who we are, you know? And finding, you know, putting the food down enough, you know, putting our alcoholic food down and then working the steps quickly and being able to open that channel so we can hear our higher power better and to practice every day of listening for a higher power and being that open channel and having that spiritual awakening, it's so powerful and it's made such a change in my life. And when I can honestly say to somebody that's still suffering, I have faith that it will work for you. It worked for me. Or when we read something and there's a solution and I say, exactly, I believe that there's a solution for you. I believe because I know, because there was a solution for me. And to be able to just give that reassurance as we're reading that passage and say that there is a solution and say, there is. You know, and it's hopeful. And for those of us that have suffered for many long years in and out of OA, and to have somebody tell us that there's hope and there is a solution and believe it and know it, I can't imagine a better gift. I know it was a gift for me. So with that, I'll pass, and thank you, everyone.
And thank you, Tara L. And Sherry D., you're up, followed by Pam T. Sherry?
Yes. Hi, my name is Sherry D., and I'm a compulsive overeater from Los Angeles, California. And I'm so grateful for this program that's saving my life one day at a time. And these two paragraphs really stood out to me today and really resonated. I have, nobody can understand the despair and the hopelessness of this disease and the powerlessness unless they have it. What came to mind for me is I'm also in Alcoholics Anonymous, and I have a wonderful recovered sponsor in that program of 40-plus years. And even though she's been working with me and knows all of my struggles with the food, I mean, I will tell her that I would eat something and want to die. Her response to me would still be, oh, honey, just have a cookie and some milk, So even the best meaning people who have knowledge of the disease in another area still can't apply it to food because it makes no sense to her. She cannot grasp that somebody could be addicted to food. And just in terms of the psychiatrist, I remember I came in via the HAL program when I had gotten sober. Within 6 months, I gained over 50 pounds. And I entered the HAL program and got a food plan and started following that. But I quickly realized that there must be, I'm cured, and maybe I'm going to go to this therapist that my friend's going to because she's able to eat normally. And this therapist told me that I could just eat cookies if I just put them on a plate and I ate in front of people and I didn't hide it anymore, then I would be cured of this. And she told me not to restrict anything because that was my problem. I really wanted to believe that, and that little experiment with eating cookies in front of my significant other lasted one night, and quickly I was into bags like before. So I have to be very careful who I share this with, and even today I share very openly when I go get my physicals or when I'm dealing with medical profession. I'll tell them, I can't have one of those things or whatever, I eat the bag. And they look at me like I'm speaking another language because they don't understand what I'm talking about. And they'll still say, just eat one. And so I have to stick with people like in this program. When I'm on this call every day listening to the solution, listening to the problem and the solution and the experience, strength, and hope, this is my tribe. These people are saving me. My step guide sponsor who was brought into my life is sharing her experience, strength, and hope. And the fact that we're all in this together, it's a we program, this is where the hope is. So I have to be careful who I share this disease with because I can get quickly swayed to trying another method that's not going to work. And I really appreciate you letting me share, and I pass. Have a great day.
Thank you, Sherry D. Pam T., you're up, followed by Leslie C.
Good morning.
Pam?
This is Pam T. in Los Angeles also. I'm getting so much from the sharing today. I rarely talk. I often listen to this meeting. I wonder if being in the queue to talk is helping me listen better. These paragraphs have hit me quite strongly because I've been in the program almost 40 years, and I'm staining most of that time. And as I look back on practically a lifetime, I have sought therapists and psychiatrists and all kinds of people, but I don't share my intimate food details with them for all the reasons that were expressed, that they'll tell me that's not such a big problem, or the worst is when a mental health professional tells me I'm too thin. When I get told I'm too thin, which hasn't happened recently, but recently enough, when I get told I'm too thin, I immediately have to call my sponsor to get perspective on that. That just sets up a whole thing. I don't even want to go into what that means. Yet the therapist and the psychiatrist have been able to help me with some of the underlying things that help me work the other steps more. But it's my fellowship, us, that I tell my intimate secrets about food, and not my spouse, even though sometimes I can engage him in helping me, but not with the real details. I need someone, just like it says in the book, that's been there and knows it and won't judge me. Thank you so much, and thanks for everyone for doing service by being on this call. Thanks.
Thank you, Pam T. Leslie C., you're up, followed by Debbie F. Leslie?
Good morning. My name is Leslie, and I am a compulsive overeater in Imperial Beach, California. The shares this morning have been wonderful, and I'm glad to hear them all and relate to them all. And I know that is a big, important factor in my recovery. I learned to lie to those doctors and psychiatrists and counselors ever since I was a little girl in second grade, and they'd send me to see the nurse once a week and get weighed, and she would teach me about the four food groups. You know, I learned that I needed to lie about my behavior so that you would, so I might gain some approval, because obviously I wasn't right just by the way I looked. Someone was always trying to fix me, you know. I saw a psychiatrist for my severe atypical depression, and she was able to, chemically correct that. And so she tried to chemically correct my binge eating disorder also. And oh my goodness, that medication was craziness. I learned to lie because people were always trying to fix me. My dear mom, who we loved each other dearly, one day I remember she said, during a time when I was trying to, you know, death by Dorito, and I was just eating bags and bags and bags of them. And one day she said, you know, Leslie, if you could just stop eating the chips. And I said, well, no shit, Mom, but how do I do that? Well, you know, her idea simply was abstaining from the chips. But until I heard it from another compulsive overeater who understood the craving, the cure, I needed that ease and comfort from those chips and a whole bunch of other stuff I've binged on over my life. Until I heard from someone who experienced that, could I even accept that that could be the solution? But then following it up with the spiritual solution, because it's really a spiritual problem I have in the first place, that's what had the depth and weight to make quit eating the chips, make that possible. I'm forever grateful to Program for saving my life, and I'm grateful for all the service that happens so that this meeting happens twice a day. And I'll pass.
And thank you, Leslie C. And this meeting actually happens three times a day, which is awesome. Thank you so much. And Debbie, and before we hear from Debbie, I just want to remind everybody where we're at. We're on page 18, and there is a solution. We're going to be reading the third and fourth.
Yay.
We lost you.
Sorry, I thought it was a mute. Sorry about that. here we are again. Well, thank you, Leslie C., and we actually are on the line three times a day, which is awesome. And I want to remind everybody where we're at. We're on page 18, and there is a solution. We're on the third and fourth paragraph, beginning with highly competent psychiatrists, ending with little or nothing can be accomplished. And so after we hear from Debbie F., if you could go ahead and get us started again, Debbie, and then I'll take some more names after that. Debbie?
Yeah.
Thank you, Debbie. Debbie, I can't hear you. Press star 1 to unmute, please.
Are you able?
Debbie? Debbie, are you there? Debbie F? We can't hear you. Okay. You know what? What I'll do is we will go ahead and take some more names, and we'll bring Debbie, we'll piggyback Debbie F. If she'll come back on the line, we'll get her. So
Dawn B.
Okay, Shawnee B.
Dawn B. Clara G.
Okay, I'm sorry, I heard Shawnee B, and then I thought I heard Donna B.
Donna B.
I'm sorry, some people are coming in, like three of you. Who was that, please?
Donna B.
Okay, I think I heard Laura. Laura, what's your last initial, please? Laura? Okay. And I can take three more.
Dawn B.
Okay, I heard Dawn B.
Michelle.
Did I hear
L.
Michelle?
Yes.
Michelle L?
Yep.
Okay.
Dawn B.
Okay, and
Clara G.
I'm sorry.
Roz R.
I heard Roz R. But we're going to also try to get Debbie F. back in here if we can. So, Shawnee B., why don't you get us started, please? Shawnee? Did I hear Shawnee B.? Might be a man.
Hi, this is Shawnee B., but I actually did not go in the lineup. But I'm
happy
to
maybe
share.
That was Donna B.
I think it was someone else, and I was like,
okay.
Huh,
well,
so
thank you.
Either,
thank you, Shawnee.
Yeah.
We'll take Donna B., and then we'll take another name. Thank you, Shawnee.
Okay.
Donna, is that you? Donna B.? Donna B.? Star 1 to unmute, please. Okay. We're batting 1,000 here. How about Laura? Is Laura on the line? Did I hear a Laura?
It's Anna B.
Anna B. Okay.
Yeah.
I'll take you, Anna. Let's go ahead and go, Anna.
Yes.
Thank you.
I really liked this chapter of this paragraph when he was talking about how he really was able to identify with this person who had the same problem. And, you know, all of us who have, you know, been to different experts and, you know, and outside of OA, they just didn't get it. And so, you know, as the paragraph goes on, you know, they're talking about how he's, you know, not holier than thou. There's no preaching. There's no, you know, all this other kind of stuff, you know, you should do or you shouldn't do. It was just the, you know, the ex-problem drinker found a solution and knew there was a solution, but and he knew the facts about it. And that seems to just help us out so much. And I really appreciate all the shares on the line because it brought to life what I was going through when I was in therapy. 5 years ago, I was seeing a therapist, but I was still on the food, and she would get so angry that I wasn't retaining the information from the therapy. And then when I got sober with my food, I was able to go to a different therapist, and now I'm able to retain the lessons that I'm learning in there. And my behavior had changed simply because I'm not using the, you know, the drug of food. So with that, I'll pass and thank you very much.
And thank you, Anna B. And now we have Dawn B. Dawn? Star 1 to unmute, please. Dawn B?
Yeah, hi. Yeah, this is Dawn B., recovered in Southern California.
Thank you, Dawn B.
Yeah, I wanted to share on these two paragraphs. To me, the language that they have chosen here kind of reminds me of describing a hostage situation, calling in competent psychiatrists to persuade the alcoholic to discuss his situation without reserve. And then, you know, so I was imagining in my mind psychiatrists getting on the speaker of the police cars outside the bank. And I'm inside the bank holding a large chocolate cake up in my hand, you know, and I'm taking hostages. I mean, this is my problem, describes my problem solving when I'm in the disease. My best thinking gets me into just a hopeless situation where I'm really clearly not thinking. And it says in the big book, we can't tell the true from our from the false. We can't rely on our minds when we're in the disease. So, but when an ex-problem drinker gets on the speaker and armed with the facts about himself can generally win the entire confidence of another alcoholic in a few hours. So talking me down from this crazy thinking I've gotten myself into, only another compulsive overeater who has gone through the exact same things, knows the exact things to say, will be able to shine some hope onto the situation, and I can reach out and trust and realize that this is my problem. My thinking is the problem. My problem solving has gone to nothing. And I'm basically holding up this cake saying, this in my life better change or I will eat this. I swear to God, I'll eat this. And the hostage would be my happiness. I'm waiting to be happy until this in my life, which I've decided must change before I can be happy. I can't allow myself to be happy before this changes. And just the hope that ex-problem drinker, a compulsive overeater who has the solution can bring to my life is transformational, and it's such a beautiful thing. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
And thank you, Dawn B. And is Debbie F. Coming back on the line? Debbie F., are you with us? Okay. I guess we lost Debbie. Michelle L., you're up, followed by Roz R. Michelle?
Hi, good morning. Thank you for your service. Thanks for letting me share. This is Michelle L. I'm newly recovered in Delaware. And I had to share because also I'm also a new psychiatric nurse practitioner. So I'm in the unique position of being one who understands this, that being an ex-problem eater with a solution, but also being a professional. And I am so grateful for being in this unique position because I'm able to share without obviously getting into my own experience, but in a general way. And all I really need to do is ask somebody, how's your appetite? And a couple of things that they may express back will open the door for me to ask more. And when I ask and when I seem to not be judging, more is revealed. And I can identify with them in a sense of where I can say, you know, you're looking for some comfort and ease in the food and you're feeling restless, you're irritable, you're discontent, you know, nod, you know, and we can talk about it. And it's been amazing because I don't think a lot of my peers will go there or ask those questions. And that's okay. You know, not everybody will understand it, and they don't have to. But I am suggesting Overeaters Anonymous to people, and I am writing down a Vision for You phone information. And you know, that's, who knows what will come of any of those things, but planting those seeds and just knowing that I can say, you know, a lot of people have found a solution to this food problem, and you're not alone with it. And for me, I'm so grateful to have found the solution and to be living it every day, because that allows me, my abstinence opens the door. It's the foundation that opens the door to my recovery and my relationship with my higher power. And just being able to be of service is a true gift. So if anybody is new, you know, this program really does work. The steps work. Thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you, Michelle L. And Roz R., you're up. And we'll actually have room for two more after Roz R., so get ready to star one to unmute when you want to share. Thank you, Michelle. And Roz R., you're up next.
Can I be heard?
Yes, you can.
Thank you. Thank you so much for your service. I know it can be very challenging sometimes, and it's so much appreciated. I'm Roz R. in Florida, and I'm gratefully recovered today. I was driving, but I listened. I read with everybody before I got in the car so I could know what was being read. But I think the sentence I want to focus on is, you know, when the problem had been solved, you know, when I saw the problem solved in someone else. I'd been in program since 1982, and I had many what I called abstinences and lost weight, but it was never with peace. It was never, it was always like a diet for me. And I was always, it was always like white knuckling to stay abstinent. And then when I would get to where I wanted to be, I never really felt like I was, you know, I felt like I had arrived, like I looked like I wanted to look, but I didn't feel like I wanted to feel. And it wasn't until about 6 years ago when I first started hearing vision, but it was actually 4 years ago when I ran into someone that I sponsored face-to-face out here in Sarasota, and I saw the transformation in her. And it wasn't just the weight loss. It was the way she was, you know, everything about her. And I wanted to know, like, what she did, because I used to just call in on the phone off and on. And she told me about vision. And at first I thought you guys were nuts, that you would read one paragraph or sometimes one line and then, you know, share on it like for an hour. I didn't get that. But I do now. And having gone through the steps with someone, you know, from vision, and, you know, it's like a miracle. I don't even know how it happened that I've had the neutrality with the food for quite a while. And I don't, you know, it's like, I don't even know like how it happened. It just happened. And I think so much of it is the support that we give each other here that, you know, if you are new on this phone, it's not just going through the steps, which is critical, but it's the support. It's the willingness to reach out to others who have recovered, or even those who, you know, are new. But I mean, we really support each other here, and I never had that in the rooms, and I bring that into my home group now. And it's just so unusual what we have here, and it's like a gift, and I'm so grateful. I've never had such peace with the food, and no matter what's going on in my life, you know, it's not an option for me to, and I don't even want it to be an option. I mean, it was, you know, when I started, I couldn't stop, and I never knew when or if I would ever stop. And I love that analogy of the bank. I mean, I could see myself holding a cake hostage, and if you don't do it my way, you know, forget it. I think I did that a lot. So I'm just very grateful to have that peace, and it's work. It is work every day. But you know what? I always remembered it was work being in this disease too, and the lying. So I'm grateful to be here and grateful for your service and for all the shares I'm hearing today. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you for letting me share.
And thank you, Roz R. And we have time for two other people to share who would like to share.
Clara W.
Okay.
Katrina H.
Was that Sarah W.?
Laura W.
Laura, that was you back then.
No,
okay,
no, it wasn't
W.
me earlier.
Okay.
MG.
Laura W. And who else, please?
Clara J.
Okay. I think I heard, was it Anita J.?
MJ from Arkansas.
MJ. Okay. MJ. All right. So we have our two. Laura W., let's go ahead, please.
Thanks. Good morning, everyone. Laura W., recovered compulsive eater, anorexic, exercise bulimic in South Jersey with a terrible cold today, but so grateful to be on the line and hear these two powerful paragraphs. I heard this analogy earlier. I love the analogy also of the hostage. But you know, when I came into the rooms, I was in a deep dark hole. I was forced in through a treatment center, and I sat there in the treatment center for 30 days, and continued to stay in my addiction. And you know, it reminded me of the fact that I'm down in this deep dark hole, and I'm looking up, and there's the counselor and the psychiatrist standing at the top of the hole, saying, "Do this, do that. You know, climb up this way, climb up that way." And my friends are standing there and yelling at me, saying, "I don't understand why you're doing this to yourself." My parents are there crying, and until one of you guys climbed down into the hole with me, took my hand and say, "Here, the steps are over here, let's climb up that way," I could not get this. I could not recover. And for 14 and a half years now, I'm walking these steps every day, abstinent, yes, for 14 and a half years, but that's not even the great part of it. The great part is that I'm no longer a raging lunatic. I'm no longer starving my body and damaging my body physically. I have a power greater than myself, such a relationship with my God that I feel protected and safe all the time. And when things come up on a daily basis, I have a technique where I just pause. And you guys taught me that. You know, there is power in the pause. And I'm not here for personal recognition. I'm here to carry the message to other compulsive eaters, just like that person was for me who climbed down into my deep dark hole and took my hand. So, you know, we can't do this alone. This is a WE program. The word alcohol is only used in the first step. The rest is about transformation. It's about changing, you know, changing who I am with God's help and becoming a different person. The death of the old self and the rebirth of the new self, and that is done through the steps. So I'm grateful for being here today. Thanks so much for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you, Laura W. And MJ, what is your last initial, please? MJ? Star 1 to unmute, please. MJ? Okay.
MJ from Arkansas.
Okay, MJ, what's your last initial, please?
J.
Okay, so just M and J. Okay. Thanks,
uh-huh.
MJ.
Oh,
ahead,
thank
please.
You all so very, very much. You know, just listening to such wisdom just brings such joy and peace and camaraderie. And I'm thinking about the gentleman who was a psychiatrist, a counselor that led me to OA, and so I'm very grateful for the professionals. But I'm most grateful today for the humility that I see the thread, that humility through professionals, but humility through this program. Humility that comes in each of you when I hear it is because you've experienced it and you felt it. I'm a recovering newbie to the program since last September, and I've been listening to all of you and talking once in a while. And it's just this thread of humility that helps me on my journey because my sponsor is very humble but very wise, and I can open up. I can be me for the first time. I can speak things that have been so hidden and so far away. And I'm being restored every day. And I just love the humility of even Bill or the people from the beginning. That's, to me, what is bonding us all together, what is helping us to be free, what is helping us to reach out to one another, just that humility, the brokenness, but yet the recovery and victory. And I just want to thank all of you for just stay humble. I don't care how long you've been in the program or how many years you've been on this, you know, doing it well. But as a sponsor, I just want to thank people out there, especially this program. I am just growing and healing and recovering so beautifully. And with that, I'll say, have a good day.
And thank you, MJ. And we have time for 1 minute share. Anybody want to jump in the pool?
Clara G?
Go ahead, please, Clara G.
Oh, cool. Okay, so thinking about the psychiatrist and the doctors that I went to, I went with complaining that I was depressed and fatigued, and they would try me into all these different pills of antidepressants and stuff. And the thing is that it could never work. No pill worked for my depression and fatigue. And it couldn't work because my problem was self-pity and shame. That's what was creating my depression and my fatigue. And so it was until I worked on that issue through the steps that my fatigue went away and my depression lifted, you know. And so a doctor wouldn't understand that my compulsion to eat comes from a resentment, you know. And it's only in the program they tell me, if you have a resentment, you better get rid of it through working a 10th step and then going to God, because otherwise that resentment will make you eat.
Time?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Sorry,
Jessica. Okay, well, thank
all
you
right.
very much. That's all
thank
I want.
Thank you. Thank you. And thank you, everyone. What a wonderful meeting today. Thank you for all your wonderful shares. And I just want to thank Team Friday for their service. We had Liat T.D. on the 12 Steps, AJN on the 12 Traditions. Our reader of our text was Christine M. Don B. is going to read page 164. And back up in the wings was Julie E.B. Our newcomer greeter was Leslie M., and our announcements are Leslie W. So thank you so much, everybody. And so now we'll close with the reading from the big book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Don B. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only and keep you until then. Don?
Hello, Don B., recovered from California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you can't transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.